Morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you all again. I thought we was just together. If you will, begin turning to Genesis 16. We don't have a bulletin this morning. We've ordered ink, and it ought to be here this evening. So, we'll go next week to have a bulletin. But I've emailed them out. In this day and age, it's hard for me to have news to tell somebody. I go tell somebody something, so, oh, yeah, I already knew that. Everybody knows everything before halftime, before I know it. But you may
already know this, but I'll tell you anyway. Brother D. Parks, Moose and Sandy's son, D., he's just a couple years older than I am. They live there in College Grove. And I'm just so used to when I say where somebody's from, somebody tells me where they're from, I say, I sit under Chris. he sits under Chris. They're from Tennessee. They thought it was a lymphoma he had in his stomach, and they weren't sure, but they did some more testing, and it's a certain type, a rare type of small intestine cancer he has. And they said if he responds very well to treatment, he may have 2 years left. If he doesn't respond well, he may just have just a couple months left. But if very well, maybe a little more than 2 years. And so he's mid-40s. I got two young children, and they've sat down and spoke with the children about these things. And so for him and those children and his wife and his in-laws, Bob and Janet Morrell, we pray for him. But they said his spirit, his encouraging spirit hasn't wavered, and his trust remains strong. That's probably the calmest man in that whole storm is the one that we're all crying for. And I said, what's wrong with you? The Lord sent this. Calm down. He didn't make a mistake. He did what was right. As you're able, remember them. All right, Genesis 16. Genesis 16. The life of Abraham up till chapter 16 here. The Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, I'm going to give you a lineage. You and your wife don't have any children, but I'm going to give you a whole bunch of them. At 75 years old, up in Haran, the Lord said, it's time to leave now. You disobeyed me for 5 years. You wouldn't listen to what I told you. I killed your father. It's time to leave. You're going to go down here to this promised land, and I'm going to make a great nation there of you. And he took him in Bethel, took him up in the mountains, showed him, said, you see this land? This is the land you're going to inherit. And then he left for Egypt. That took some time, didn't it? Went all down to Egypt for a while, told Sarah to lie so he could spare his own neck. That took some time. Well, they'd come back, and Lot looked at this land too, and they grew too big. That's some time in growing. So Lot took the choice land. And then he got tied up in Sodom and was captured. There's a war. Abram went and found these people, slew them, 318 men, and brought back the people. The people. And then he gave all those goods to the king of Sodom. Melchizedek came and visited with him. Revealed himself to him. And he gave all those riches to the king of Sodom, and he kept the people. And he feared. He had great fear. And the Lord come to him and said, fear not, Abram, I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. And he said, Lord, give me a sign. It's been a long time. We've been walking a long way, walking from Egypt all the way back up to Bethel. I had time to think about this. Lord, can you show me a sign? And he said, yes, child. Come outside. Look up. You see all them stars? The seed I told you that you were going to have would be more than those stars. Can you count them? No, Lord, I can't. Now, he believed. He believed God. He believed what God told him. He believed what God said. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. When that happened, the Lord looked on him and said, right there is righteousness. How'd he know that? He put it there, didn't he? Righteous Abraham, who believed God, said, well, can you give me something? How can I know? I believe you. I see what you showed me. I see the sign. But how can I know? And the Lord gave him a sacrifice. He said, you go take these animals I told you to take. A heifer 3 years. And she-goat and he-goat. And the young pigeons. And you're going to burn them. sacrificing. And you're going to see that smoke going through there because they're being consumed. They're being accepted. The sacrifice is accepted. And you're going to see a light going down there. God's presence. Almighty God is pleased with the sacrifice He gave you to provide for Him. To provide for Himself. Is that enough for you, Abram? That's how you're going to know. You believe me. It's already been counted to you for righteousness. You believe me. I gave you a sign. I gave how you can know. The sacrifice has been accepted. That's how you can know. He's 85 years old, still no child. But he's had the signs and the promises of God. And knowing all this, because of that accepted sacrifice, knowing that, boy, he's mature now, isn't he? Is he grown? He's all squared away. He's just on cruise control. Not yet. Not yet. Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. They brought this slave girl back with them from Egypt. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into that my handmaid, my maid, that it may be I may obtain children by her. Maybe that's what the Lord meant. We've been waiting all these years. And we're mature now. We got some discernment. I bet that's what God meant. Ain't that right, honey? She's whispering in his ear. What pain that caused. What pain that's still reflecting in this day on us. Whispering in his ear. And she said, maybe it be that I obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. And gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Can you imagine the deception? Well, this goes along with the next hour, a couple of different points. But here's a young woman. Young. Nice looking. Still no wrinkles. Pretty. Young, and now she has a child with the man. This is the head honcho. That's the most powerful man in that area. She's got some riches now. She's entitled to some riches. And she's got some position of power. His only child, she's the mama. She was rich, she was young, and she was a ruler. That's what we'll look at next hour. And you think, whether she was cocky yet or not, here's the older lady. She sees this young thing coming, and already she don't like her. This was her idea to have her come here, and already she don't like her. What a shame. Turn over to Genesis 21. Just a few pages there, Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. She just put her hand to it. Sarah just came up with what she thought was good. But the Lord visited her as he said he was going to. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set of time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. This come to pass. What God had promised had come to pass. And Abram circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, and God, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abram that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. She said, you ever had that happen in life? Lord turned something, you just did not see it happening that way. And you just laugh. That's all you can do. Look what the Lord did. Well, her heart's changed a little bit now, hasn't it? Her heart's changed. And the child grew, verse 8, and was weaned. And Abram made a feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abram, mocking. Oh, she says, what a delightful day this is. They're having a feast because this child's weaned. Here, maybe another month or so, we'll see what that means. That's important. He grew up. Things happen when they grow up. things changed. But they had a celebration, a feast, because this child was weaned. And while this was taking place, this time of celebration, she looked over it, and there was Ishmael mocking. Here's a little young teenager making fun of his little brother. Wherefore she said unto Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of his son. He loved Ishmael. And God said unto Abraham, let not this be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now turn over the New Testament. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Here's a commentary of what the Lord's showing us between these two women, these two motives, and the two outcomes of these motives. Galatians chapter 4. Me and Kimber listened to a message on this, and faithful man of God from years ago, and he said, turn over here, I think it's in Galatians 4. And he paused a little bit. And I thought, well, he's giving them time to turn. He said, turn here. Well, people's got to get there. I wait for the pages to stop. And he said, well, now let me find it. And I thought, well, that's nice and kind, you know, because maybe you don't remember where this is. I know where it is. And then it wasn't a dramatic pause. There was crickets for a while. He said, let me read this chapter. And he sat there about a couple minutes and read it. I looked it up. I wrote it down. Galatians 4, verse 21. Here's a New Testament commentary on what we just read. We'd read these things. These are historical facts to us. We need somebody to enlighten us on these things. Galatians 4, verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, that's his first one, that's Ishmael by Hagar, and the other by a free woman, his wife, Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman by promise. How did Ishmael show up? Well, that's just the natural course of things. They had a child. He went into Hagar. She was young. It didn't matter for him. She hadn't been through menopause yet. And that was just the natural course of things. That was by the flesh. The flesh did that. How did it happen through Sarah? She was old. Her body was barren, doubly. She wasn't able to conceive her whole life. And then she went through the natural order of things where now she definitely couldn't conceive. But God had promised. That's a miracle of the Lord. Why was that? Verse 24, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. That's not just two children, that's the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it's written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. From the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We're the children of that covenant. A covenant of promise, covenant that God worked. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. They're still mocking those that want to be under the law, those that want to have the flesh ruling over them. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We're given this whole story of Abraham having a child with Hagar named Ishmael. 13 years later, he has a child with Sarah in her old age. And then there was a dispute there. They could not get along. And that bondwoman was cast out. It had to leave. And all that is a picture of us of two covenants. The covenant of promise and the covenant of works. covenant of God and the covenant of flesh, of man. We see that illustrated here. That's the difference between law and grace. Hagar had that son, was the firstborn Ishmael, but it was born after the flesh. That was the doing of mankind. Their good ideas, their good thoughts. After human reasoning, Sarah said, that's just a good idea. That's what I think. What does Solomon say? There's a way which seemeth right unto man. We need to get after it. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Trying to fulfill that law by your own hand, by your own... Reach up, touch that ark. You hold it up. Watch what happens. Ways of death. Sarah had Isaac. God opened her womb after it was impossible to conceive. Because the Lord promised her and promised Abraham he was going to have a son. Not the son of doing, but the miraculous son of promise. One that God promised. The life that came from a covenant of grace. That's what that was. Not a life that come from a covenant of works. Paul calls this an allegory there in verse 24. What's an allegory mean? That's the use of historical facts to teach spiritual truths. We have something that really happened, and we can understand, to teach us something that's spiritual. We have something, that way we can see and understand things. We read it first in Genesis, and now Paul tells us plainly what these things mean. This is not just a history lesson, it's to teach God's people how He saves sinners. That's what He's done it for. The stories in the Scriptures are more than just stories. People say, well, there's just so many nice stories in there. And they make up wallpaper. That always gets me. I don't know. pictures, playground equipment, all these things because it's nice little stories. No, it's not. In these stories that the Lord gives us, these allegories, we see His power displayed. How was Isaac born? That was the power of God doing it. The mercy of God towards unworthy, undeserving sinners. That's what we see in these. The purpose of this story of Hagar and Sarah is to teach believers that we are completely and totally free from the law. That's why we have it. Plumb free, we're going to see in a minute. We are the children of promise. And we are not to return to the law. The Lord freed us from the law. Now stop going back to it. We need to find our terms. We're going to speak in these words. Well, I told you what an allegory was. Well, what's the law? That's God's holy demands. We see that in the Ten Commandments, don't we? Everybody knows those. They're on some courthouses still in this country and some schools still in this country. But we got the Ten Commandments. That's the Mosaic law. Is that what it's talking about? Yes, it is. What about the Levitical law, the ceremonial law? How they have to do all these things. The 613 laws of that. Does it include those? Yes, it does. But that hadn't happened yet. There's still 430 years before that law come about. Before Moses come down from that mountain. What else is there? God has moral law. What's that mean? You have to obey Him and love Him with all your heart. That one scribe asked the Lord, so which is the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Before that law of Moses, before that law for the Levites come out, you had to obey God and love Him with all your heart, and what comes later, agree with all the law. If you could keep the Ten Commandments and you could keep those 613 Levitical laws, and you did love the Lord God with all your heart, you got to agree to it. Well, I kept it. Well, you got to be happy about that. I'm glad that law is there. That's what we're freed from. What's grace? Unmerited favor. It's a gift. That's something you didn't earn. You didn't work to get it. It's grace. Mercy, they go hand in hand together. What's that? That's something that you did deserve and you didn't get. We deserve wrath for breaking that law. Which one? All of them. Every one of them. Y'all was at the house yesterday. I've got pole beans growing with my corn, so I don't have to trellis them. You just plant them a couple weeks later, they'll grow up the corn. That's illegal. If I kept the whole 612 Levitical laws, that's one of them. I deserve an eternity of hell and damnation because I planted... Well, that ain't right. We'll take it up to God. It's His law. It's a holy law. What's a covenant? That's a contract in our day. We understand that. You go buy a home or a car or anything else, it's illegal. That's just. It's right. It's right to do so. A legal binding contract. And it's done on purpose. On purpose. It ain't an accident. You go buy you a car and you sign the title for it. Where'd that come from? You bought it. You went and got it, didn't you? It's done on purpose. That's what the terms are. So what? How do these things apply to these characters that are in this story we're given? How do they apply? Sarah, she's the picture of that covenant of grace. That contract of unmerited favor. That's what she's a picture of. That the Lord established and brought to pass. Whose covenant's that? He says His covenant. It's the Lord's covenant. Isaac here, her child, he represents the children that are of that promise. That covenant that God made, the offspring, the results of it. God's elect. That's the children of promise that come from her. Whose promise was it? It was His promise. It's the Lord's promise. It's His covenant. It's His promise. His workmanship. All that are born again. All that are born by the purpose of God. They're born by the power of God. Because we couldn't do it. They're born by the promise of God. The Almighty God of heaven and earth. It's His doing. Promise to Abram and Sarah. His power opened her womb because He purposed to do so. Hagar. She's a picture of that covenant of works. That's man's own ability and strength and wisdom and what we just think's right. It just makes sense, don't it? She shows us a picture of those that go about to establish their own righteousness. I can do it. We'll do it my way. What's the result of that? Ishmael. That's the result of mankind's works. That's the result of us putting our hand to it. He was born after the flesh, and he was the work of the flesh. And I'll tell you what he ended up being. Don't turn there, but in Genesis 16 it says, "The angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, thou shalt bear a son, and call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction." And it says, he will be a wild man. Ishmael's going to be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. Does that mean they're just going to fight all the time? Well, they do. His seed's still fighting, ain't they? But everyone's trying to outdo the other. What they can put their hand to. His hand gets there. I'm going to outdo you. Well, I'm going to tie my tie a little tighter. I'm going to wear my halo a little straighter. And everybody's trying to outdo that one. And it says, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. In the presence of all his brethren. What's that? What's outwardly seen? That's the product of it. What's outwardly seen? Well, but now I just don't smoke or drink. I quit that. I read only good books, and I watch only good things. I'd only do this, and it just squeaks when I smile because I'm so clean and good. That's the outward appearance. That's not what's inward. What's inward? Grace is inward. Works is outward. Grace is inward. And boy, I tell you what, there's a result. Lord said, what's it meant? They ain't going to know that you're my children because you got your doctrine squared away. I know he's telling the truth because he said something wrong. No, they're going to know because you have love one for another. And you can't fake love. You can whine and dine it for a little bit, but it won't go away if it's true. And you can't fake it if it ain't there. That's how you're going to know. It's an inward work, an inward work. Paul said in Galatians 4:29, "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now." Even so it is now. There's a war between the two. There's opposition between law and grace. They cannot mix. They can't be in the same room together. They can't be in the same place. It's oil and water. You can't mix the two. But people in our day are trying just as hard as they can. Why are we reading Galatians? A little bit of leaven was put in. How much was it? Just a tiny bit. They believed everything them brethren at Galatia believed. But, now, hold on now. We've got to do just a little bit. We've got to do just a little bit. And Paul come unglued. He said, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven saying this. It's a lie. Don't listen to him. Let him be cast into hell. That's strong. I want to take every stumbling stone out of that road to the city of refuge I can. If somebody just has any hang-up, if there's anything that could be offensive in me to keep someone from coming to Christ, I want it gone. But at the same time, those stumbling stones of people holding on to their own glory, things that they can glory in. I pray the Lord will use His word to cut every one of them away. Because if you cling to something of you, you're not clinging to Him. And you either get all of Him or none of Him. That's how that goes. And I have a heart for people. It's almost like I have to give an account for your souls. Well, Kevin, you don't need to cover my soul. Boy, you better hope I tend to it. Lord, allow me to. Enable me. People try in our day to mix the two. They want the two children to grow up together, live in the same house. It cannot be so. That's why Paul wrote this letter. He said in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I pray we can be shown the difference between what we do for salvation, which is nothing, we can't do anything, and what another did for us. What another established a covenant for us and provided that covenant for us and purchased us in that covenant. Where he is now. What's left to do? Nothing. Nothing. It's finished. That's what he said, isn't it? And I hope we're enabled to, old brother Scott Richards says, drop Hagar and that son of perdition off in the wilderness with a jug of water and leave him alone. Walk away from him. We want to keep looking over our shoulder, don't we? Looking at that old life we used to live. It's done. Walk away from it. Leave it alone. What about this seed of promise? Was Isaac special? Is that physical offspring special? Is that nation that's over in the Middle East, is that something special? Do we need to honor that and give some special honors to it? We'll look at that pride in the second hour too, but look here in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Verse 15. Paul says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. If you have a covenant between people, that's binding. We know that. You don't add anything to it. It doesn't get disannulled. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. This covenant that the Lord made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's what he's talking about. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, they didn't have law yet, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. What does that mean? Is the law against it? Is the law fight it? Look down at verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scriptures hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. We were imprisoned. We were shut up to sin and death because we was under that law and we was too busy working, trying to do something. Verse 24, therefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ. To bring us is what it did, but that's in italics, isn't it? It was a schoolmaster. We looked at that before when we was in Galatians. That was that hired servant of the master to bring their children to school. They walked them to school. They took them to the teacher. What would that law do for us? I can't keep that. I ain't got no chance at all keeping it. Not even outwardly, much less inwardly. That has to bring me to Christ. That has to bring me to His feet. That has to bring me the one that fulfilled the law, every jot and tittle, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under that schoolmaster. Once we are in Christ, we fulfilled the law in Him. It's fulfilled for us. That law doesn't apply to us no more. We're dead to it. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no pride in this. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Remember what the Lord says, count those stars? He says he's going to have one seed. He said, count the stars. That's going to be your seed. What is that? If you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Then you're what he's talking about. That's Christ that lives and abides and dwells in you. His incorruptible seed. His seed in you. And heirs according to the promise, according to the covenant, according to the working of God. He did it. He did it. What's the believer to do now? That covenant of works, of do something. Don't look in these scriptures for what to do. Look what's been done. It's finished. There's nothing. I'm going to sanctify myself. You'd be better off slapping yourself. I don't know. That's nonsense. Just saying Christ ain't enough is what that is. That's hogwash is all it is. That works are gone. It's been fulfilled. There's a covenant of works. There's a covenant of grace. And if it's all of grace, it's all of grace. And I would have it no other way. Now, what do you do? What do we do? People get mad. And I say, Kevin, you can say you're free from the Mosaic law. You can say you're free from the ceremonial law. That's fine. Don't you dare say that people's free from the moral law. If the Lord said, I've purchased you, I've loved you, do what you want. Well, don't we have to bow to Him? They said, Kevin, if you say that, people do whatever they want. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The Lord's completely fulfilled all the law, all He requires. And now what will I do? What do I want to do? What do you want to do? Run to Him. Would I run away from Him and rob a bank? No, I want to be in His presence. I want to follow Him. I want to praise Him. I want to thank Him. We don't just sit around and wait, do we? Doing nothing. Old Brother Fortner said that. He said, Lord saves people, not blocks of wood. That's just cold deadness to somebody else. Boy, that's life to the believer. Look what the Lord did to us. He promised something and He fulfilled His promises. I believe He was faithful, even though just like Abram, I'm doubtful that every 5 years I look like somebody that ain't worth spitting on. Give me a sign. Well, how am I going to know? He's faithful. That's what I'm thankful for. Turn over to John 13. And we'll close. John 13. What does that heart that's born out of promise, born out of that covenant of grace, what does it fulfill? Paul told us in Galatians 6, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now we're under the law of Christ. We're under the law of grace. That's what we're under. John 13, verse 14. The Lord gave us this example and then He's going to explain it to us. He says, if I is washing the feet, if I then, your Lord and Master, this ain't some just teacher, this is the Lord. If I'm your Lord and I've washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. People stop there where I grew up and they literally go wash one another's feet. That ain't what it's talking about. You don't want to wash my feet. I don't want to wash your feet. Spiritually, yes, I'll cover your sin. We'll walk in backwards and cover it up. But I ain't trimming your toenails. Down in verse 34, here's what the Lord was telling us. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. That ye love one another. How? Here's where you can't fake it. How? As I have loved you. Somebody, you're going to love your brethren in the same proportion Christ has loved you. You want to grow in more grace? Well, you're going to have to be given more grace. That's the only way you're going to grow. You want to grow in love? The Lord's going to have to reveal His love to you more. That's what it is. You want to grow in being merciful to somebody? You're going to have to mess up. You have been messing up. He's going to have to show you you've been messing up. And you have to cry out for mercy. And when I cry out for mercy, boy, it's easy to be merciful. New commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples. If you have love one towards another. Now, who was them disciples of the Lord walking the earth? Boy, they was just high and lifted. Oh, they was respected by all men everywhere. People wanted to loan them their personal jets to fly around. They were despised, weren't they? Looked down upon. They loved. They didn't do nothing. They just loved one another. They believed God. That's crazy. You ought to be doing something. They were despised and rejected of men, weren't they? All is purposed and promised. All is fulfilled by Christ. Now just go love one another. Rejoice together. Cry together. We have brethren that go through trials. I weep. I hurt for them. I hurt for their families. I hurt for the ones around them that trials of that affect. And I weep that Christ is merciful in it. And He's going to be revealed the heart of that child again. And if they have faith withstanding that storm, it's because He gave it and they know it. We cry together. We rejoice together. We praise the Lord together. Those outward results there between these two covenants, they look the same, don't they? Abraham was the father of both. He entered into each of his wives. There was a son born, right? Both of them strong. Both of them look like their daddy. What's the difference in those two? The motive. The motive. Which child are you? You one of God's works? Something He performed? Something He promised? Are you like Isaac? Or are you a child of man's works? Are you an Ishmaelite of your doing? Paul said in Galatians 3, "And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." I'm His. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Set ties in. He bought me. He established that covenant. And He redeemed me. And I'm His now. He's loved me first. And boy, I wish I could learn more about that love. I wish I could display it to Him, He that abides in you and His people. I want to know. I know Him. And I want to know Him more. I love Him. I want to love Him more. I love you. We're creeping up on 4 years I've been coming here to visit Him with you. We got to know each other a little bit over that time. I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I do. The Ishmaelites, they'll be at war with that true seed of Abraham until this world is done. They'll fight it tooth and toenail the whole way because they reject it. We'll see that. That's the leaven that leaveth the whole up. You know, the Lord said those things He hates. He said, first is a proud look. Why? That's the root of it. That's the root of it. Pride is the foundation of anything else. That's wicked and evil. It's pride. All right. Father, thank You for these lives that You've given to allow us to see Your power and Your purpose and Your grace in action. Lord, allow us to be grateful and give us hearts that are humbled and that see Christ daily. Lord, allow Him to be our life. Allow us to love as He's loved us. Allow us to be merciful as He's been merciful. Tender, long-suffering. Lord, how blessed we are. Thank You for this place. Thank You for our brethren here that You've gathered. Thank You for keeping Your word with us. Lord, bless it to our hearts. Have Your Spirit upon us. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen. Amen. I keep trying to be shorter and shorter. It just ain't going to happen.